This morning we want to look at a passage of Scripture to help us discern who Jesus is. We've been on a journey through this Gospel of Matthew, and Matthew has communicated that Jesus is the Messiah. He spent 4 chapters in this introduction covering his genealogy and his birth and his baptism and the temptations, and then there was this announcement at the end of chapter 4 that Jesus went through all the cities proclaiming the kingdom and healing and delivering. And then he launches into the first of 5 sections of teaching. We call it the Sermon on the Mount, chapters 5, 6, and 7, and it's this kingdom and the characteristics of the people of the kingdom, people who have qualities and commitments and make choices that align themselves with God. And as we move then into chapter 8, it's the first of 5 segments of Jesus' activity, his deeds, his actions. And as we look at these actions of Christ, we want to ask the question, who is Jesus? Do I know him? Do I understand him? And do I have a relationship with him? Let's pray together as we begin. Lord, we ask that as we open your word, you would speak to us through it. You'd communicate your heart to us. You'd reveal your characteristics, your very being to us, so that faith would erupt as a gift from you inside of us that results in us having an eternal relationship with you. We celebrate you, Jesus, and we are so thankful that you've given us your word to communicate to us. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen. The book of Matthew, chapter 8, reads this way. When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them." When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him and asked for help. "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly." And Jesus said to him, "Shall I come and heal him?" And the centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. And he said to those following him, "Truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go, let it be done just as you believed it would." And his servant was healed at that moment. When Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand and the fever left her, and she got up and began to wait on him. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. "He took up our infirmities and bore our diseases." When Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave orders to cross to the other side of the lake. Then a teacher of the law came up to him and said, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." Another disciple said to him, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead." It goes on during these chapters 8 and 9 to list 10 miracles, 10 events where the power of Christ was on display. It starts by saying Jesus came down from the mountain. On the mountain was the teaching. And Matthew's portraying Christ as the new Moses, the better Moses. Moses was the one who received the law and gave that to the people so that they might know the holiness of God and the otherness of God. And now Jesus is the better Moses who went up on the mountain and gave the teaching. And there's going to be five books of that teaching in Matthew, just like Moses gave us five books. But then it's followed, each of these sections, with a section of doing ministry. And Jesus did 10 miracles as he came down from that mountain, just as Moses gave us the 10 commandments. But what's going on here? Jesus' teaching reveals his authority. Jesus' miracles reveal his power. But there's another thing that's on display, and that's the character of Jesus. The character of Jesus. Do you know Jesus? Do you know him well? Do you know him accurately? Do you know him personally? Do you know him in such a way that it's not just head knowledge, but it's a relationship that's changed you from the inside? Matthew is portraying Christ so that we might enter into a relationship with him. Now, Matthew arranges his material thematically. It's not chronological. And so Matthew has the ability to pick certain events and certain episodes and certain teachings and arrange them in such a way as to portray Christ accurately. Why did he pick these? And why did he pick this very first miracle to start off this depiction of Christ? Chapter 8, verse 1 is the episode where a leper comes to Christ. Now, a leper was a person with a skin disease, and the category was broader back then than what we narrowly define as leprosy, but it was a condition of the skin, and the thing about that was is it caused a person to be cut out of the community, cast out of the community, separate from the community. A leper had to move away from family and community, live out in the outside areas, away from those he loved, cut off from contact, cut off from relationship. And if that person moved around and he saw somebody within even 150 feet upwind or 300 feet downwind, he had to shout out, "Unclean, unclean," as a warning to the people. "I've got a disease and you don't want it, so stay away." Imagine the horror, the deprivation, the heartache that such a disease would cause. And back then, the understanding of disease was limited, and understanding the separation between what's a disease and what's it caused by, is it natural or is it spiritual? That was all a little blurred back then. So a person with leprosy was not only contaminated in the natural, biological sense, but they were deemed to be contaminated spiritually. It was as if the leprosy was sin itself, and the person was cut off, cast out. People stayed away from them. Oh no, a leper. Run, everybody. As Jesus was moving down the mountain from his intense depiction of the kingdom in what we call the Sermon on the Mount, the very first thing Matthew tells us is that a leper comes and kneels before him. Now, most people, when they see a leper or a leper coming close, would back away, would run, or would yell. Even there's depictions of rabbis in ancient times almost proudly explaining how they threw stones at the lepers to keep them away. But not Jesus. As the leper nears and as the leper kneels, notice what Jesus does. And as you see the story of the leper, I want you to try to put yourself into the story. For a leper is a contaminated person, and you and I certainly understand contamination. Because it's not just a skin condition, it's really a heart condition that's going on. It's not just a disease of the flesh, it's a disease of the heart. We understand heart disease because we've all encountered the virus of sin. We've all encountered a thing that's caused us to do what we know we should not do and to fail to do that which we know we should do. So we are all in this story. We are all invited to be this leper here. And notice, he does what is culturally inappropriate. He does what would cause most of the crowd to gasp in horror. He nears, he approaches, he comes close to Jesus. I think that's an invitation for you and for me to know that in our state of contamination, we should run and bow before Jesus. And what does Jesus do? He doesn't throw stones. He doesn't yell. He doesn't order him away. It says in verse 3, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. And he healed him. He healed him. The power of Christ was on display. But more than just the power, the compassion of Christ. Jesus had compassion on this man. Jesus took time for this man. Jesus let himself be near the disease and near the sin so that the love of Christ could flow. Why? And why was this episode the first one here listed by Matthew and all the different possibilities of a healing accounts and different things he could have started his story with? He uses this one. There's one little word that gives us insight. Notice that the leper came and knelt before Christ and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. He knew Christ had ability. He knew Christ had power. He knew Christ had authority. That wasn't a thing that was in doubt. But he did not know Christ's character. He did not know if Christ was willing. It's easy to give lip service to statements of faith. God, Christ is God. Christ is powerful. Christ can do anything. That's easy. But what's your heart say about the character of Christ and the willingness of Christ? Do you know if Christ is willing? Do you know whether or not Christ is willing to reach out a hand? Do you know if Christ is willing to meet you in your point of need? Do you know if Christ has love for you or condemnation for you? The leper didn't. And so Matthew puts this account first where Jesus responds not with rebuke, but with a statement of love and compassion and mercy. And Jesus says, I am willing. Oh, what a wonderful phrase. And I hope that you hear that phrase. I hope that you receive and internalize that phrase. You come before God. You come before Christ. You're aware of his power. You're aware of his authority. You're aware that he's the one that has this great teaching and truth and can depict what the kingdom is like as he gives the teaching of the Sermon on the Mount. But now I hope that you hear Christ say to you, in your point of need, I am willing. I'm willing. Be clean. Now, did you catch it? The leper comes and he wants something. He wants to be healed. And Jesus heals him and then declares, you're healed. But that's not the word used, is it? It doesn't say, Lord, would you heal me? And it doesn't say, you are healed. It doesn't say, made well. It uses a very precise and specific word. It says, the leper says, I want to be clean. And Jesus says, be clean. What is that? That's the insight that we need to grasp here as we think about the ministry of Christ with this very first miracle that's listed. The person came before Christ and says, Lord, what I most need is to be made clean. And Jesus says, I am willing, be clean. Because it's much more than a disease. It's much more than a condition. It's much more than a malady. It's a relationship with God that is on. That is being talked about here. It's a relationship with God. You see, think about the whole teaching in the Old Testament. God creates everything perfect, and he's in perfect communion with his creation. God and man enjoying each other. But sin comes and contaminates. And man is cast out of the garden, out of God's presence. And the whole rest of the Old Testament is God bringing about his message of how reconciliation could take place. Moses goes up on the mountain and receives the instruction from God about God's holiness, about God's perfection, and about mankind's need for being made right with God. And he's given these amazing rituals of how that could be possible in the here and in the temporary situation as sacrifices are made and blood is shed and people are unable to come before God because of a blood being poured out on their behalf. All of that's displayed. But it's temporary. It's a picture of the eternal plan that now, at the fullness of time, Christ comes to fulfill. And it's going to be his shed blood, his broken body that once and for all deals with sin and allows mankind to be brought into the presence of God. The presence of God amongst the camp of the people was displayed in the Old Testament by an ark in a tent, a tabernacle, a place where God's holiness dwelt, a place in the center of the camp, which all the people were to be aware of and thinking about and approaching in the appropriate ways. It was a set-aside place, a holy place. And in the middle of the holy place was the Holy of Holy Places. And in the middle of that was the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat of Christ, the mercy seat of God. But people couldn't approach it unless they went through the proper steps. And if they did certain things, they would be contaminated and made unclean, unable to approach God. So all these things were taught to the people about how to stay away from things that contaminated, how to be made holy, clean, if you were contaminated. The leper says, "Would you make me clean? Would you make me clean?" And Jesus says, "I am willing. Be clean." See, there's an idea that God cannot tolerate sin. And it's true that in heaven there will be no sin. And so it's a half-truth. God cannot tolerate sin. But as we see Jesus moving through his years of ministry, we don't see him not tolerating sin. We actually see him reaching out to sin. Let that sink in a little bit, my friends. Jesus reaching out to sin. Maybe we need to see it in his Old Testament context first to be able to understand what Christ was doing. In Isaiah chapter 6, we have the call of Isaiah. And really, it's this amazing dream that he has. In the year that King Uzziah died, he says in Isaiah chapter 6, "I saw the Lord, high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying, and they were calling out to one another, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory.' And at the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke." What a dream! And we see that, or we hear that, we try to imagine that, we think, oh, that'd be glorious, that'd be so great. I wish I could have a dream like that, an experience like that. But that's not the reaction that Isaiah had. When Isaiah had this dream and recognized what he was seeing, he was terrified. And he cries out in verse 5, "Woe to me! Woe to me! I am ruined! For I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." See, he knew that God could not tolerate sin in his presence. And he knew that he was sinful. He knew that he was unclean. He knew that he was unworthy to be in God's presence. And so he knew that he was ruined, destroyed. But the gospel, the good news, is that God is not in the business of destroying sin. He's in the business of rescuing sinners. Maybe your image of God is a little askew. Do you see God as the taskmaster who goes around trying to destroy sin wherever he sees it? Or do you see God as the one who, wherever he sees sin, seeks to change the sin and rescue the sinner? What happens in this story with Isaiah? As he cries out, "Woe to me, I am ruined," suddenly one of the seraphim, one of these angelic beings that was terrifying, flew to him with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar, and with it he touched my mouth. If you didn't know the story, and you paused right there, what do you think's happening? Isaiah is incinerated. A coal from the altar fire is pressed against his lips. He is destroyed. Except he's not. Instead of Isaiah being destroyed, the sin was destroyed. What does he say? The angel says, "See, this coal has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. What happens in Jesus' first miracle in the book of Matthew? A sinner comes and kneels before him. An unclean man comes and kneels before him. Lord, I know you're able, but I don't know if you're willing. Would you make me clean? Would you remove my unholiness? Would you remove that which separates me? And what does Jesus do? He reaches out a hand and he touches him. A man who hadn't been touched in who knows how long. A man who had been cut off from all community, from family interaction, from the embrace of his wife. A man who was isolated and separate and aware of his uncleanliness. He cries out to God, I know you're capable, I don't know if you're willing, I don't know if you're really that full of mercy. And the very first miracle of Jesus is to reach out a hand. What did it feel like when the hand of Christ was laid upon that shoulder? Or did the hand move up on the neck and cradle the side of the head? What did it feel like for this man to have the Messiah, God in flesh, God amongst us, reached out and touch him? As Jesus did that, the crowd gasped in horror. Oh no! The uncleanliness, the sin, the disease that this man is carrying is now going to contaminate the Messiah. Oh. They were so short-sighted. They had a huge picture, image, imagination of the power of sin. And no understanding of the power of the righteousness of Christ delivered through the mercy and love of Christ. Sin doesn't destroy righteousness. Righteousness destroys sin. And just as Jesus reached out a hand to that leper, Jesus is reaching out a hand to you and to me. Jesus is saying, I know what has isolated you. I know you're walking around with a heavy load of guilt, thinking the things you have done and the things that have happened to you are keeping you forever away from his presence. Jesus is aware of the heartaches and the struggles. And rather than running in horror away from those things that have affected you, Jesus is on the march, coming down from the mountain into the hustle and bustle of life to where you are. And he's inviting you to look and to see his approach. And to run and kneel before him. And to cry out, Lord, I know you're able. Would you be willing? Would you be willing to meet me in my area of need? And friends, hear the words of Jesus. In your area of hurt, in your area of heartache, in your area of contamination, in your area of struggle with sin, Jesus is saying to you right now, I am willing. Be clean. Receive my righteousness. For in that transaction, when the hand of Christ was on that leper, the power of Christ flowed from Christ into him. And it changed him. Jesus wasn't contaminated. The leper was transformed, made whole, made clean, made right, brought into family and fellowship and reunion, into the very righteousness of Christ, into the very presence of Christ. Christ did in his very first miracle, he's going to do throughout the book of Matthew. He's going to do throughout history. He's going to do throughout all of your days. This is Jesus, the teacher, with all authority and all power, who's willing, with all compassion, to reach out to you, to touch you, to cleanse you, to heal you. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your willingness to allow us to come into your presence. So we come. We come humbly. We come aware of our uncleanliness. We come aware of our leprosy of the heart. We come aware that we've been contaminated just going through the world and the culture and the interactions we've had. We come fully aware of our need. And we bow before you, Lord Jesus Christ. We affirm your authority and your power. And now we recognize your love, your tenderness, your compassion. and that you are stronger than any sin. Any disease that has affected us, Lord, you are more powerful. Your righteousness destroys sin. And by faith, we reach out a leprous hand to you. And by faith, we grab a hold of you. And by faith, we hear you say that you are willing. And by faith, we hear you say, be cleansed. And by faith, we receive that cleansing right now. We receive your righteousness right now. We receive your holiness imputed into us. Tell Jesus yes right now. The devil's trying to tell you, no, this isn't true for you. It might have been true for that leper. It might have been true for someone else in the room, but it's not true for you. Break that lie. Break off that curse. Say, Lord Jesus, I trust you. I receive you and your word and your power and your authority and your cleansing. I receive you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we ask for eyes to see, hearts to receive, spirits to be made alive for your glory. Amen. I want you to think one more thought about this man that encountered Christ, the one who said, Lord, I know you're able, but I don't know if you're willing. Think about what it was like for him the next hour, the next day, the next week. Reunited with family, reunited with community. Jesus tells him to go to the priest and offer the appropriate sacrifice as a testimony. I think as a testimony to the priests and the leaders and the people in the religious authority that righteousness is breaking forth. The love of God is delivering the power of God. And I wonder how it changed that man and that man's family and that man's community. Maybe he was from a small town. And as a visitor came to the town, the visitor might say, what's this town like? And they would say, oh, we're the home of the leper that was cleansed. This is the place where that man that had been cut off, had been unclean, has now been made clean by the power of God's righteousness. There weren't very many testimonies of people being healed from leprosy. Extremely, extremely rare. But they experienced it in that town. And it changed not just one man, but a whole community. Here's what I think is going to happen. Not only are we going to be people who understand the power and the authority of Christ, but we're going to be people who have received the compassion of Christ. And because of that, so changed will we be that we now extend that to the people around us. I think our community is a bunch of cleansed lepers who can't help but tell what Christ has done and can't help but share that same love and compassion, and Christ will be glorified.